This is NoBS Job Search Advice Radio, episode 2207. I'm Jeff Alton, the Big Game Hunter, and welcome. I started this show because I have a strongly held belief that job hunting doesn't have to be as hard or difficult or take as long as it does. It's just the skills needed to find a job are different than those needed to do a job. Today, I have a guest expert on Daniel Alfon. And Daniel's in Israel as we record this. English is perfect, of course. And I'll just simply say, we talk about mistakes people make with their LinkedIn profile that prove costly. Hope you enjoy the show. Hope you give it an honest review wherever you listen to it. And we'll be back in just one moment. Support for today's show comes from CareerFitter. CareerFitter will help you evaluate other career possibilities for yourself. Order the premium version using the link below. Take 10 minutes, answer 60 questions, I believe it is, and they'll give you some ideas that will get you thinking. And that's really what you want to be doing. Having outside input help you think about ideas. So again, use the link in the show notes, order the premium version. So my guest today is Daniel Alfon, who's the author of Build a LinkedIn Profile for Business Success. Daniel joined LinkedIn almost as early as I did in early 2004 and has helped thousands of job seekers leverage LinkedIn, mostly through his work with LHH Israel, Lee Hecht Harrison in Israel. Daniel publishes articles and exclusive content about advanced LinkedIn strategies to clients and subscribers from his website, danielalfon.com, which I'll have a link to in the show notes. Daniel, welcome. Great to have you on.
Welcome, Jeff. Thank you very much for having me here. Thanks.
My pleasure. And given the fact that you and I are old timers on LinkedIn, so long ago that I became a member of LinkedIn that I still had hair. What still surprises you about LinkedIn when you think about it?
That's a great question. I think what surprises me most is not LinkedIn, but the way LinkedIn members still treat it. Because when it was new, so you and I joined when it was really starting out, there were no rules. But LinkedIn has been out there for 18 years. We would expect people to know more about it and to use it better. And they still don't. It's like, it's counterintuitive for job seekers to think about the way they need to leverage LinkedIn. It's almost like they think that to accomplish X, they have to do A, B, and C, and it never really works that way. So that still amazes me that the platform hasn't changed so much, but we have not learned to master it well. It's not intuitive, it's not friendly, even today.
It's funny, LinkedIn back in the Stone Ages when you and I joined, and dinosaurs were still roaming the earth, certainly in your country. all it really was you've got a profile and you connect with people by letting them have access to your email address. So that way they can send out viral invites to people and grow the network that way. And we were all told at the beginning, only connect with people that you know. That's the Stone Ages. And obviously that's changed a lot since back then. But I think fundamentally people still treat it the same way. It's my profile.
It's funny. I went almost full circle and halfway back. I found that there were two good ways of treating LinkedIn in terms of a connection strategy. One is to aim for quantity, have 30,000 connections, have a lot of exposure. And the second is quality, connect with people you know well. But many, many people, many candidates, many very talented managers start by connecting to people they know well, think they have to get more exposure, send lots of invitations to people they don't know or accept invitations for people that they don't know, and they never reach the quantity. So they end up in the middle, in what's possibly the worst connected strategy, because they don't have enough exposure, and yet they're polluted or diluted the quality of their network. So quantity is great, quality is excellent. Don't stay in between, because it's not profitable in any way for a job seeker.
So it sounds like what you're saying is people struggle to know what to do with LinkedIn other than have their profile. Like, how do you get reputation on platform if so few people know about you? Did I interpret that correctly?
Yes, it's even better than the way I phrased it. But you have a reputation in real life. So if you connect to people you know well, you could leverage that actual reputation. You don't have necessarily to have a LinkedIn reputation. You don't have to have an external reputation, because you've worked hard to gain, to build your reputation in the real life. Why should we have like a second layer of a reputation just for LinkedIn? LinkedIn is supposed to help us and not the other way around. Why should we do it?
Well, we get something out of it.
Another way to look at it is remember the objective. The objective is interviews and job offers. And the objective is not endorsements and connections and likes and views. And sometimes there's a gap. Candidates fall in love with the LinkedIn metrics, and at the end of the day, they look back and say, wow, I've got so and so many people looking at this, but it doesn't translate to actual interviews. And without actual interviews, I'm afraid they won't shorten their job search.
And that suggests right now we're having the conversation about while people are active in their search, I always think in terms of how do you build reputation when you're not looking for work? And doing the things that allow people to know, like, and trust you and respect you and see you as the expert that they're going to want to reach out to, so that in this way, opportunities come to you at a later point.
You know, that's the best questions job seekers are not asking themselves the day they start a new job. They tend to think of a job search as an operation. Like, right now, I've joined a company, I'm going to rest, and maybe in two years' time, I'm going to look for another job. But the truth is, if you do it like you said, then with a minimal investment of time during the period you work, it's much easier for you to build that reputation, and it will also help you tremendously the moment you transition to a job hunt. But people tend to only, you know, move from nothing to a peak just because something happened with their employer. In the outplacement business you mentioned, I see lots of very talented engineers and managers who've worked for their company for 5, 10, 15 years. And at one point they realize that the next company they're going to join, they're not going to stay on their payroll for a decade. In many cases, it will, you know, within a year or a year and a half, something will happen. An M&A will happen, the hiring manager will leave, they will want to go and do something else. So job hunting is sort of a muscle. And if you only build it when you need it, it's not efficient. You can do it, but it's a lot more work and you get a lot, your ROI is not very good.
It's funny. So often people create their brand, their name, by their association with their employer. So I work for so-and-so, and thus you get the halo of the employer around you. For me, when I was working in search, I decided that I should own my halo. And I looked to differentiate myself from my firm. I never denied I worked for the firm. I always submitted resumes on letterhead from that organization, but there was a lot of emphasis on me. And as I started to write, as I started to do YouTube videos, as I started to podcast, it all became about me, and the firm got the benefit of that. rather than the other way around. And I get the idea that what we're talking about here are things that people can do to create that reputation, that network, when they need it, of course, and invest the time when they don't necessarily need it. So they're in the garden planting seeds that will eventually bear fruit.
That's the best way to look at it. And actually, what you said is also very, very important. The fact that the talent or the manager or the person who used to be a candidate builds their brands while working does not contradict or does not hurt the firm. It actually benefits the firm. And they will get to benefit from that, you know, down the road if they need to. But it's not either or. When you build your brand on top of your employers also benefits from some of the stardust that you're making. And psychologically, it's much easier to find speaking engagements when you're an employee. You'll find a trade event, you'll find a meetup, you'll find something and you'll highlight your firm or the product you're working on, and you will also benefit yourself. Otherwise, the day you leave, you're left with almost nothing and you start from zero. And the more experience you get, you need to think that the way you mentioned earlier, you should no longer look at job openings, because it's what's left at the end of the process. 70% of the opportunities have been already filled without a job application. So the more senior you become, the more experienced you become, you need to get a phone call from someone, you know, Jeff, in 2 months' time, we'd like to start this operation. Would you like to come in hand and manage this part? With no job opportunity listed anywhere, you could shape the actual essence of what you'll do. Your negotiation position is much, much better. And this is the way to think of your future, not as someone who look for jobs, but someone who will hear all sorts of opportunities coming in. And in one case or another, you may say, that could interest me now, let's talk.
After all, the person who gets ahead isn't always the smartest. They don't always work the hardest. Although those are great qualities to have. People get ahead by being alert to opportunities. Sometimes those are internal to their organization, but more often than not, they're external. And thus, by keeping yourself top of people's mind, opportunity starts arriving at your doorstep. Now, let me just say what every job hunter says, and that is, this seems like a lot of work.
It's ridiculous, because if you actually count the amount of time that same person will have to invest, if they don't invest the time now, they're going to end, they will pay the full price, they will work a lot harder, and they will get nothing close to the return they'll get now. Because let's think about it in terms of networking, okay? Let's say you and I have one good friend in common, Jacob Scher, okay? Just one out of many. If I manage to keep in touch with Jacob Scher when I don't need anything from him in the next 2 years, and in 2 years that time, there's an opportunity and I'd like him to introduce me to the hiring manager. If we manage to keep in touch with him, saying Merry Christmas or saying Happy Birthday, nothing really aggressive, but without asking anything, then our conversation in 2 years' time is going to be a lot friendlier. We're not going to stop and say, hey, will Jacob actually remember me? And on the other way around, if we do nothing and we forget about Jacob 1, 2, 3, 5 years, then the only moment we remember him might be the moment that his firm advertise a job, and then Jeff and Daniel will be people number 6 and 7 to actually say, hey, Jacob, how are you? How's the family? And it doesn't come close to being in touch with him when you don't need anything. It's sort of an insurance policy, if you like. You don't pay for insurance after you've hit the car. You pay for insurance before, so We hope you don't hit anything, but if you need it, then it's there.
It's a perfect way to put it. You know, you make an investment that you hope you never have to utilize in order to get a result. So what can people be doing that isn't particularly time consuming that will help plant those seeds? And I know you spoke about staying in touch with people, being the friendly guy, being the friendly woman. Every once in a while, they just drop a note and say, hi, how are you? How's the family? Around Christmas time, which is, to me, always the easiest time of the year to network.
Mm-hmm. So let's divide the answer into maybe two parts. One is the infrastructure we may need as job seekers, and other is our network. Okay, our network is key, but let's start with the easy thing, the infrastructure, our resume, or our LinkedIn profile. If we manage to take, say, half an hour every quarter to look at what we are doing now and update it, most people will manage to do this within, 10 minutes. There's one project that I started here, I want to remove this part, I want to change this sentence, that's it. And duplicating it to LinkedIn or doing the same thing in LinkedIn is really minutes. What is going to be the price if we don't do this and we need to do it in down the road in 2 years' time? Our latest position is the one that needs to be the best written one, because that's the only thing recruiters and hiring managers and anyone in the world doesn't know us will glance at. So job seekers who did not find the time to actually work on their infrastructure are going to send a badly written resume to the people they care about most. The best recruiters, the best managers, the best friends are going to see something that's half-baked, only because they didn't take the time to stop and think. Because when you do it, you remember the figures, you remember the names, you see tweaking it is really minutes. But the more you wait, the more difficult it becomes and the higher price I'm afraid the person is going to pay. So the infrastructure is the easiest part. Find a system that enables you to look at your CV/LinkedIn and update it with really minor tweaks. Shall we move to the networking part?
Yeah, please.
So if we think of LinkedIn as one way to keep in touch with our network, there are many other ways. The notifications that LinkedIn shows us is an area we can tweak. So let me focus on two easy things, birthdays and new jobs. Whenever we see that one of our connection has updated their profile and started a new job, my guess is maybe 90% will just click on the automated message saying congrats. Okay, dozens of people will do it, it's meaningless. But if we think about our network in a more strategic way, then you and I know that it's better to actually visit that person's profile because they ended up updating their profile this morning, but it doesn't mean that they actually joined the firm this morning. It could be that they joined the firm 6 months ago and now is the time they got to LinkedIn to actually update it. So it's not really congratulating them. It's saying, I see that you started working for that company 6 months ago. How is it going? And in some cases, the person will tell you, listen, I'm looking for something else. And that's the reason I actually updated my LinkedIn profile. So can you imagine, Jeff, the horror of receiving congratulations? And the bad part about it is that the person can reply and get back one-on-one to the person who congratulated and say, actually, I'll now start looking for something else. That's fine. But for every two eyes of someone who saw this and sent an automatic message, there may be hundreds of people who just saw that John Doe started something new. And they didn't go and they didn't see what was that the company he joined. And even if you and I ask that person for a project manager, and we would never say the name of the person we saw on our notifications because we think that they only started something now. So about our notifications, one easy way to keep in touch with our network is to watch the new jobs and invest really a minute going into that person's profile and seeing the date and seeing the name of the company and seeing if it represents an internal promotion or they moved from New York to Texas or they relocated or they did something else, and actually relate to that when we message them outside of LinkedIn.
It's funny, the one thing I just want to remind folks about is if you don't get those notifications automatically in that tab on LinkedIn, you can go to your privacy settings to ensure you do get those notifications. Because as Daniel said, it's great stuff that allows you to connect or reconnect with people from your past, more like reconnect with people from your past. You've had some version of relationship, even if it's only LinkedIn friend, and begin the conversation or continue the conversation, all because LinkedIn said, hey, Daniel's just moved from wherever to whomever, and going to their profile and seeing, Daniel's been there for 5 months now. That's interesting. And he just updated the resume. And there's so much software that basically treats a LinkedIn profile update as an indicator that a person might actively be looking for a job. Treat it the same way, folks. Treat it the same way. And how long do you think it takes to do a quick note like that? 90 seconds, maybe 60?
Yeah, the insurance part comes in micropayments. If you fail to do it, then you're basically bankrupt.
So true. So true. And when I did recruiting, so often what I did was track my contact and what happened and track when I was supposed to follow up with them. So that in this way, there was a logical progression in the relationship. And it didn't always mean that they took my call, but they got a voicemail from me. Hey, when we spoke last, you mentioned to me that, and there's a follow-up to it, which is another small micro investment that people make or should be making, that they're predictable times for follow-up so that you don't miss out on potential opportunities and you remain top of mind. What other sorts of things can people be doing that involves small investments of time that have the potential to yield large results?
Okay, so just to end up with the notification tab, and you're absolutely right, we can tweak it and say we no longer want that kind of notification and we only want this one. Birthdays is also an easy one. It happens once a year, and that enables you to reconnect. And reconnecting, I want to emphasize the fact that you mentioned reconnecting. Many job seekers fight hard to try and connect with people they don't know, while they actually ignore or don't nurture enough the people they do know, or the people they have met, the people they have worked with. If we manage to keep in touch with some of the people we actually know and some of the people we actually like, we may no longer need to go cold reaching out to somebody, because we could use an introduction. And an introduction could mean a meaningful discussion with a hiring manager, even when there's no job posting or when there is. So we need to remember that the, looking at the company the person has worked with, okay, people who've worked with for a company for 5-15 years, most of them just delete the hard disk of those people, or even associate the last day of their working history with those people. They don't want any contact with them. But the truth is, in 3 years' time, some of those people will be in the best firms you and I would like to work for. And we only have to keep in touch with them. Now, I'm not saying keeping in touch is not time consuming, but it's a lot easier than to knock on someone's door and say, hey, you don't know me, but please allow me to do this and that. So reconnecting is essential, should be an essential part of your networking strategy in this day of age, because otherwise you're going to work three times harder and get much less results and much less actions, if you like.
And there are holidays around the year that are easy for reconnecting. I mentioned Christmas, Hanukkah, Diwali for people from India. It's just, there's certain holidays that all you have to do is a quick hi, how are you? It feels like a long time, because it probably has been. And I just thought I would reconnect and see how you were. And be the friendly person, not the, you know about any jobs kind of person. That no one, I don't think anywhere in the world wants to be that person.
You're right. And you know that the funny thing is, there are so few of us who actually do this that we stand out. It's nothing extraordinary, really, but everyone is going so transactional. I need this, Jeff, please go after that. But if we manage to keep in touch for the rapport, for the trustworthiness of our relationship, then the next time I wouldn't have to push you. It would be a lot more natural. Mm-hmm. And I forgot to mention, when you asked me about easy or small things, identifying a course and going on Skillshare or something else to learn a skill that will help you for your next job is also one thing that is a lot harder to do when you leave the company or you start job hunting. You should notice that the whole market is going to the cloud, or the whole market is going ABC, and your company is not going that route. So it's your responsibility to learn it. You don't have to take, a three-year program for that, but grab something, start learning, know the basics, and that will make you more competitive when you need to look for a job.
Again, the investment in oneself, and I know a lot of firms have stopped really paying for training, and thus, who's adversely affected? You as a job hunter. They don't care, because on their side, we've got this, you need to know that, you know this, why should we train you on this new thing that we're not going to learn to have you leave us to go do that thing?
Yeah, there's the discussion, the imaginary discussion between the CFO and the CEO, and the CFO says, if we invest in those people and they go away, so what is it worth it? And if the CEO says, if we don't invest and they stay, what price are we going to pay?
Right.
But less CEOs are maybe as aware of that as they need to be.
It's so funny that, and we're on the same page about this. Knowing that your people are going to leave, they're going to stay, and whatever it is, there's a price. And which is the price that gives you the greatest hope out of all of this? That's really what we're talking about overall here. What gives you the biggest chances of being successful? And I'll just simply say, we're starting to get close to the end of our time together. I want to make sure we cover other points that you may have in mind. What haven't we spoken about yet that we really should before the end of our interview?
We could discuss briefly sharing on LinkedIn.
Sure, let's do that.
I don't think many people need to excessively or daily post things on LinkedIn, because most of our network does not want to see that many updates. But say once a quarter, find one piece, one article, one video, one informational content that you found very interesting, and share it. Not necessarily tooting our own horn, but highlighting someone else. It could be someone else we look up to in our firm. It could be use the LinkedIn kudos if we'd like, but the important thing is to occasionally put high quality content out there, and not only when we actually need a new job. That'll make it easier for us, because if we only get to use LinkedIn when we're looking for work, then we will not even understand the mechanics. We don't remember what happens under the hood. And if we use LinkedIn, you know, for 10 minutes a week, we will never miss the birthday of the people we're connected with. We will hardly miss the fact that that person has moved from New York to Austin, Texas. And we will find some interesting content and we will able to share it without spending too much time on it. So 10 minutes a week is maybe a lot easier than a whole day, you know, after two months or 4 months or 6 months, because the touching points are easier and stronger. And also we have to remember that, contrary to you and me, many LinkedIn users are not living in LinkedIn. So they visit LinkedIn occasionally, but there was a trigger in real life. Like you send an invitation to that person, so he goes and checks you out. Or there's a meeting, an important meeting, and they want to see who the hiring manager would be. But if you manage to use LinkedIn a bit all the time, you'll miss less of the signals, like someone moving from company A to company B, or an interesting content out there.
It's funny, there's a woman I knew for many years who's a commodities broker. And I'm going to tell a story from pre-internet days, folks. And what she would do is read lots of business press and then clip out articles, because pre-internet, right? So you had to cut out the article, make a copy, mail it to someone with a note that said, I thought this might be interesting for you, given what I understand about what you do. And this helped her open some huge accounts for her firm, all because she'd taken a little bit of time to occasionally drop a note in the mail. Now it's easy. And, you know, Daniel's speaking about once every quarter. I would do it once every quarter if I were sending it through the messaging service to all my connections. Or I could post it with a link on the blogging platform and then share it with all my connections, which is easier than just putting it through the messaging service. And if you read something that's interesting and, you know, it's more than every quarter, you just share it in the news feed. That's easy. And no one thinks ill of you if you do it, oh, I don't know, daily, weekly, something along those lines. But sharing it to your connections, you don't want to overshare.
Okay. And going back to the system you described with the commodity broker, it's excellent because actually maybe some of our listeners here, some of our viewers, they don't need to hunt new content because they're reading that content anyway, either on LinkedIn or somewhere else. But the only thing they need to add is, who do I know who would really appreciate that piece of content? And every now and then they would think either of a way to share it across their network or to just send it to one or two or three people. And when that happens, some of those people will reply and say, thank you very much, by the way, and they will offer them something. Now, we don't do it, we pay it forward, not because we are expecting something, but like you said, we become more top of mind, and that's where the opportunities happen. Just because we ask ourselves, who could be interested in that piece? Or who could I introduce you to help you make your job better or to make your job search better?
Excellent. Daniel, this has been a lot of fun. How can people find out more about you and the work that you do?
Thank you very much, Jeff. The pleasure is on my end. DanielAsphon.com is probably the best way to go. And there's a giveaway there and lots of articles. Knock yourself out.
And I'll have that link in the show notes, folks. So that's today's show. I hope you found it helpful. And if you did, here are a few things I can do to help you with your job search beyond simply being your coach. First of all, I've got a new book out called The Right Answers to Tough Interview Questions. It is like a cookbook with answers to tons of interview questions that you're going to be asked on interviews. And if you pair it up with my other new book, The Ultimate Job Interview Framework, they are a, a terrific pair of books to help you with interviewing. In addition to a new service where you can practice mock interviews, if you go to thebiggamehunter.us/mock, I've got a service there, very inexpensive, like $99, where we have mock interviews set up. I'm going to be adding more to it very soon, but you can record your answers to them, and then I can critique them and help you perform better on them. You probably have noticed my show notes are pretty thorough with products and services that can help you with your search. And connect with me on LinkedIn at linkedin.com/IN/TheBigGameHunter. Lastly, my website has a ton of great information. That's thebiggamehunter.us. Now, if you're not ready to go there and go through the blog, put the address in your phone, thebiggamehunter.us, Jeff Altman. So this way, when you're ready to go, you have a way of getting back to my website. Hope you have a terrific day, and most importantly, be great!